Wake up with Robbie and Wendy for breakfast.
Adam Lior, hello there.
Hi, Robbie. How you going?
What about your parents? Do they have embarrassing cars at all when you were young?
We had a big Land Cruiser, very, very old Land Cruiser, which was not embarrassing in and of itself, but my stepfather insisted on putting a personalised number plate on it that said The Terminator. And so everyone was like, oh, you got picked up in The Terminator, did you? And it's like, oh, God, just stop it.
I'll be back. Well, you are back, Adam Lior, with a terrific book.
What have you got for us this time?
Well, it's the series that I do on SBS, Destination Flavour, has been going now for 6 seasons over the last 8 years. And finally, I've released a cookbook of it. So it's called Destination Flavour, People and Places.
You go to some pretty great spots, don't you? I mean, do you call this work, what you do?
It's not a bad gig, is it?
Is it?
It looks a lot easier than it is. It can be extremely difficult and frustrating and exhausting, but nobody likes to hear about it when I talk about that. You can't go, oh, God, traveling to that Tibetan family in the far east of Yunnan near Shangri-La was such a trial. You know, nobody enjoys hearing someone complain about that.
You do go to some pretty exotic places, but you also go to places here in Australia. And tell us about your favourite spots for, I guess, you know, bush food and some of the culinary delights that you've experienced in our own country, first up.
We have incredible food here. In fact, I was just up in the Dampier Peninsula up north of Broome just last week and dropping off a copy of the book to a guy called Brian Lee up there, who I know quite well. And that, to me, is one of my favourite places in Australia. You know, there's such a unique cuisine there that involves the pearling history from Broome, so a lot of Japanese and Chinese and Southeast Asian influence, Indigenous influence, European influence as well. You have dishes that are in Broome that don't exist anywhere else in Australia and people don't even know
of. Like what?
Things like sashimi, which is kind of like a ceviche. And the name sashimi is a bastardization of sashimi. So it's raw fish, and then you just pour some malt vinegar in there and a few other things. And there's a type of chili up in Broome that's very similar to a Japanese shishito pepper.
Really?
That's mixed in there.
Hang on a second. Should we be tasting some of these flavors on the East Coast?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's lovely that Broome has its own cuisine. And you know, if you go to Broome, instead of spreading Vegemite on toast in the morning, they'll spread sambal belacan. And not the Malaysian type.
Which is what?
It's like a Broome condiment made from, you know, dried fish and chilies and shrimp paste and onions and garlic and everything all cooked together. And it's kept in a jar like a chutney. And it's spread on toast like you would, or eaten with noodles or whatever.
Mm. Okay. When you say the greatest hits out of the series, I mean, that kind of implies that sometimes there are some recipes that aren't so flash. What's your hit rate there? How do you know when you're on a real winner? How did you pick your babies to go in the book?
They all actually work out great, but when you're writing a recipe for television, when you're writing a recipe for television versus a cookbook that people take at home, you know, I've made reindeer stew, I've had raw seal on the series and that kind of thing, and obviously we don't have a whole lot of reindeers here in Australia, and so the recipes that I've put in the book are the ones that, you know, we've done 200 odd recipes for the series.
Sure.
The book has probably about 100 and a bit, I think. I haven't counted, to be honest. But they're very different. I write cookbooks that I want people to cook from, which is actually, it sounds like a trite thing to say, but not many people actually cook from cookbooks.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny that you should say that because I'm an avid cookbook person and I've got so many of them. I probably use about 4, but I love to look at the rest. I read
it's
them.
It's food porn, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So you've been in the series, you've been to Australia, New Zealand, Scandinavia, Japan, China and Singapore. So we have got recipes from all those places in the book.
Yes, and actually the China series for Destination Flavour hasn't even been to air yet, and can't tell you how difficult it is to actually film a series and write the cookbook of it while you're travelling around for 4 months.
What's some of the more unusual things that you've had to eat as part of this series? You mentioned the raw seal. That must have been right up there.
Raw seal was right up there, and not very nice, to be entirely honest.
I have to say, it didn't sound particularly appetising.
Well, ironically, my cameraman who was on that series, who doesn't even like fish or seafood of any kind, lives in Japan, just loved it. You know, raw seal served with sour cream and raspberry jam.
Good grief.
That sounds...
It sounds illegal.
It tastes as bad as it sounds, but he loved it. He ate the whole plate because I wouldn't touch any of it. But, you know, I had a yak belly stew made from yak belly, which was actually extremely nice. Blood pancakes made from reindeer blood. We've eaten a lot of questionable things, I have to say. But it's all part of the experience.
Oh, I love those steamboat things that you have in China and you read the ingredients and they're kind of, the half of it is fungus and the other half seems to be some intestinal linings. The other bit's kind of beaks and claws and rectums.
You're going to enjoy this upcoming series, Wendy, because in one meal I eat rabbit kidneys, chicken testicles, the cartilage from the throat of an ox, and start the whole meal off with a goose intestine that's about as tall as I am.
Well, anyway, I was hungry there for a little while.
That's not in the cookbook, I will mention.
Take us to the cookbook, though. Adam Lior is with us this morning. He's the winner of MasterChef back in season two, and he's on your television, and he's also the author of some terrific cookbooks. This latest one takes you through all the destination flavours that he's had over the years. Give us a recipe that we can embed or something that you were really excited about putting in the book.
The one that I have open in front of me right now is what I think is a pretty smashing pavlova. The Golden Crown pavlova, I'm calling it.
Oh, yes, I love that toffee work on the top.
And it's pretty much a simple pav, but I think the secret to making a good pav, and we all make them at least once a year for Christmas, is you've got to whip the egg whites and the sugar together for a long time. That is something that people get scared doing because they think they're going to over-whip the egg whites. Mm. But frankly, once you've got the sugar and the egg whites in together, you can beat it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it's not going to fall apart. And you need to do that to fully dissolve the sugar.
Okay. How long for?
What have I got in the recipe here? I do it until I pick up the a bit of the meringue and rub it between my fingers and you can't feel any granules of sugar in there. In total, it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. So 10 minutes after you've added the sugar.
Let's talk about you. How did you become a TV chef? Did you think you ever would?
No, not at all.
You were going to be a lawyer, weren't you?
I was a lawyer years. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 12 years I was a lawyer.
And then what happened?
Well, MasterChef was supposed to be a gap year for me, kind of a gap year at age 30 or whatever it was back then. But I just, I hadn't had any time off in my whole life. I went straight from school, straight to uni. I had 3 days after my last exam before I started my first job. And then I changed jobs twice after that, but had, I think, a maximum of 5 days off in between all of them. So I just never really had any time off. But in the end, to be honest, wasn't all that into the whole TV experience, but the process of making Destination Flavour really opened my eyes to what TV can do.
So let's go into that MasterChef thing because I did MasterChef, Celebrity MasterChef, one series there.
Yeah, how long did you last again?
I was avoiding that, Robbie, and you went straight in and brought it up.
Well, no, I always say that I was actually beaten out in the first round by a cricketer with no sense of smell. But, it was true. Simon Kadich. And he can't smell. And he beat me cooking. I was furious. Anyway, but people probably don't know. It is so arduous. It is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. You're walking around those great big safety boots and you're on your feet from really early in the morning till incredibly late at night and you've got to hang around and wait and your food goes cold and then you're under intense pressure. I mean, but you went all the way through. How extraordinary. You must have been – tell us about that. You came out of that experience not loving TV.
No. Well, I mean, TV looks on screen an awful lot more glamorous than it is in practice. And that's not to say it's not fun. It's always an adventure, I think, when you go and make a TV series, particularly one that's related to travel as Destination Flavour is. But the hours are extremely, extremely long. You're not sleeping in your own bed for months on end.
Yeah.
You kind of lose your perspective because you're having breakfast in a different place every day, you're having lunch in a different place every day, and you're talking to different people in different languages all day, every day. But then, you know, we're right now finishing off the editing process for Destination Flavour China, and you get to see how much effort it takes to tell a story that otherwise you wouldn't get to see. We could have gone and told a food story at the local Chinese restaurant down here, but when you actually make the effort to go to a completely different culture, a completely different place, and see how another person lives, that the effort kind of becomes worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. I have a text here saying, do you have a Keith Floyd moment where you disappear up to your hotel room and eat beans on toast at the end of the day?
Absolutely.
What do you crave? What do you crave when you're away?
We're not often in nice hotels when we're traveling because we tend to go pretty far out to the outer reaches of where, you know, tourists may travel. But obviously, off and on, we do get into a big city and a decent city, and usually it's you'll talk around the crew and go, well, what do you guys want to do for dinner tonight? And we'll quite often just go out and have a meal together. But if we've been out in the whoop-whoop sort of areas for a while, when you get back to a big city, it's like nobody even asks if you want to go out for dinner because everybody knows they're going up to the room and getting a burger.
That's it, isn't
and
it?
Watching sport.
I've asked a couple of big-time celebs what their favourite thing, the first thing they eat when they get home after they've been travelling. And Kylie Minogue said a boiled egg with toast soldiers. And the wonderful late Heath Ledger said his mum's Hunza pie. What is it for you?
Ironically, Asian food. Because even when I came back from China, you know, after 4 months in China, the first meal I think I had when I came back here was Thai food. And
we do very good Thai food in Australia, though, don't we?
We have, I firmly believe, Australia has the best Asian food in the world.
Do you? I reckon so too.
Better than any other Asian country, better than any European country, obviously. It's weird, but we do. And every single person from Australia, from the crew, you know, I'm Asian ethnically, but all of the Caucasians on the crew as well all crave Asian food when we're away. When we were filming in Scandinavia, every chance we got, it was sushi or Chinese or Thai. Even when we go to Japan or China, we miss the variety of Asian food that we have here.
And it's because it's become so normalised here in Sydney, hasn't it? I mean, we eat Asian really regularly. And cook Asian too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, Robbie and I have got a bit of an argument on about here about what you should have for breakfast. And the best breakfast that I ever had was in Laos, and I had a big bowl of broth with so much chili and coriander in it. Mm-hmm. It just about blew my head off, and it just started me, and ginger started me off the day with a real kick. Robbie eats cereal and boring,
I love a faux for lunch, but
I like it for breakfast.
But it's a bit full on for breakfast.
So, what do you think the ideal breakfast is?
There's no ideal breakfast. Like yesterday for breakfast, I had kaya on toast. Kaya is a coconut jam from Malaysia that I like making with my kids together. So we had that for breakfast yesterday. This morning, I had a piece of grilled salmon. A very, very small, about 80-gram piece of grilled salmon and some pickled fennel and
you're very sophisticated,
like that,
aren't you, Adam Leor?
Salmon and pickled femen.
She can't even say it.
But you wouldn't eat sludgy old porridge or something.
I don't mind a porridge from time to time.
Porridge is
great. Particularly in winter, I like a hot porridge more so than a birch and muesli or something. But I don't mind hot porridge.
All right, so you've been of no use to us at all there.
Variety is what I would say. Breakfast can be Asian, or it can be a piece of toast as you're jumping into the car. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Quite right. Hey, Adam, it's such a pleasure to have you in this morning, and congratulations on the TV series and on the cookbook. Destination Flavour is the name of the book and, of course, the name of the series. The new series screens when?
It'll be out at the end of the year in November, actually.
Okay. All right. We'll look forward to that one,
and
too.
It's just funny, you know, what's so interesting about this book is one page here, I've got a recipe for gyoza, and as I flip through, there's sea urchin pasta. And the next one is reindeer stew with brown butter and raisin bread and Kakadu plum jam with ice cream. Now that is a multicultural cookbook.
It is.
Thank you.
We did have a text this morning saying, oh, great, you've got Leor coming in this morning. I love his music. So with that, we will play a
bit. That must be my next door neighbour.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Wake up with Robbie and Wendy for breakfast. Ooh.